Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. We've made it to the end of the week, and I don't know that a lot of Indiana fans are getting their weekend started today or tomorrow on a good note after that game and loss to Purdue last night. Indiana just never really looked good to me. I'm not sure any other way to say it. We'll take a look at some of the stats here in our headlines, which really tell the tale of the story, I think. But Purdue goes on to win 81-69 over the Hoosiers last night. And I don't at all want to subscribe to typical fans, or I maybe shouldn't use the word typical, but the fans that take it a little too far on social media after losses, going at coaches and things of that nature. But this is worthy, I think, noteworthy of mentioning. And we had talked about it some yesterday heading into the game, but Archie Miller is now 0-6 against Purdue in his time as Indiana's head coach, and he, even more importantly, is 0-4 against Purdue when the games have been played in what should be IU's friendly confines of Assembly Hall. So the Purdue series has not been a good one for Indiana or for Archie Miller now, and that is 8 straight losses to Purdue that Indiana has had in men's basketball, which is just really amazing. And the other thing is, and Alex Bozich said this and wrote this yesterday, it's really not a great Purdue team. They played good at times last night. They've had some good moments in the season, but they were 3-3 in the conference heading into the game last night. They're not at all considered to be in the top of the Big Ten, or really I don't know that they'll finish in the middle of the Big Ten. We'll just have to wait and see in this crazy conference. But Matt Painter, this is not recognized as one of his better teams. And so to lose in the fashion that Indiana did, it wasn't really a blowout at 81-69, but you just, for so much of the game, with the way Indiana was shooting and playing, you never got the feeling that it was really a close game. Although Indiana did make some charges, there's no question about that. In the second half, late, I thought they were very fortunate to head to the locker room down just 4 points. And then in the second half, at one point, I think they trimmed it as low as just a 1-point margin, and you thought maybe at that point, with Trace Jackson Davis getting it going and not having to sit out because of foul problems, Armon Franklin back in the lineup and looked pretty good at times, you thought maybe they would get it going and get over that hump, that deficit, and maybe take the lead and see what happened from that point. But not a good night in Bloomington for the Hoosiers. Not a good setup game for the Hoosiers as far as the Big Ten goes the rest of this month and really the rest of the season. There's no sense picking out just a week or the remainder of January as a key time. Every game is key in this very, very ultra-competitive Big Ten conference. But lots of negatives last night. Phinisee, Durham kind of dissipated back to what they were, except for the last few weeks. They really seem to step it up shooting. And just overall performance-wise, they seem to disappear a bit last night. And other issues with the Indiana team, whether it's I don't know that anything screams as loudly at you when you watch the game, and maybe even more so when you look at the box score than some of the shooting percentages of the Indiana team. But we'll take a look at those coming up here in just a few moments. Another note here at the top of the show, we've got high school basketball tonight. Another rivalry game on the Big X. We will be at Jeffersonville. The Red Devils host Floyd Central in a rivalry game and, of course, a Hoosier Hills Conference game as well. And our pregame coverage this evening begins about 7:10 here on the Big X, and our tip-off in that contest is at 7:30. So very limited fans, household, immediate households only for the players of those two teams. So if you're out and about on this Friday and you want to get the full play-by-play story of the game, tune us in. We'll have everything for you beginning at 7:10 this evening. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Coming up in segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the show, segment two, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana will join. Obviously, we will break down the IU-Purdue game, the loss for the Hoosiers last night. And once we get through that, we've got to talk about Sunday. There will be no IU basketball on Sunday, the game against Michigan State. As we kind of felt it might be yesterday, it's postponed as Michigan State has now shelved basketball for a week and a half, 2 weeks or so. And another Big Ten team, that's the third to pause here recently within the last few weeks. And so Michigan State now taking a pause. They'll have not only the Indiana game, working with the conference to reschedule that one, but I'm sure this will force some other changes on their schedule as well. So things are getting a little dicey, not like the NBA or some other conferences where they've had more problems, but things are getting a little dicey right now in the Big Ten Conference when you've got three teams out and a number of games that have been rescheduled or still need to be rescheduled, and we'll talk with Dylan about that today as well. Then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We've missed Kyle lately because of the holidays and because of no shows on a couple Fridays and just various reasons, so look forward to having him on. We're in the big stretch of high school basketball in our state. We had some tremendous games even this week in our state, and we've got some big games across the state and our area tonight. We'll talk about that. Also curious to get Kyle's opinion on CJ Gunn up at Lawrence North in Indianapolis. He set his decision date, as we told you yesterday, for February 7th, and a lot of people think Indiana's in a pretty good situation with him, seeing that he is going to announce as a 2022 player, go ahead and announce his decision coming up in about 3 weeks. That perhaps the home state school, Indiana, could be in pretty good condition to land him. We'll get Kyle's opinion. And also, you know, we've talked about Gunn some on the program, but I've not seen him play a lot. A lot of that has to do with this crazy offseason we had in the spring and summer with travel and shoe basketball, just not what it normally is because of the pandemic. But Kyle knows him inside and out, and so we'll get a full breakdown on CJ Gunn, both his game, what he brings, and his recruitment, and get Kyle's thoughts on maybe where he could head to when he makes his decision coming up in February when he announces his college decision. We'll do that and more with Kyle. That's the show lineup. Always a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get in now to our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations, one in Jeff, one in New Albany. This game last night, if you're an IU fan, it's a tough one to watch. 81-69, we've mentioned this is eight straight losses now to Purdue. Archie Miller 0-6, and really Purdue on their perimeter shooting, which they're really not known for, got off to a good start and built a 29-17 lead about midway through the first half of play. From that point forward, Indiana would do some positive things and got the score down to 2 at one point, I believe it was, in the first half. And ultimately, another little 7-point surge by Purdue. Indiana would answer, which is important. It's okay to see other teams are going to score. Other teams are going to shoot it well. You're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. But it's how you bounce back, how you rebound. Don't let that get out to a double-digit lead like Indiana did last night a couple times. Indiana was able to bounce back a few times, and they did again after seeing Purdue go on another, I think it was a 7-point stretch. Indiana cut it, and I thought very fortunate with how they played, who played well, who didn't play well, Trace Jackson Davis and foul problems, and of course how Indiana just doesn't seem to shoot it very well for the most part. Very fortunate to go into the locker room down just 4 at halftime. Then in the second half, Indiana ultimately would cut it to 1 point with just over 13 minutes to play. And from that point forward, that really it was Purdue, for the most part, with the not sizable lead, but with a, and I really wouldn't call it a comfortable lead, but with enough of a lead where you felt like Purdue was going to be able to hang on. And ultimately, they would do that. Trace Jackson Davis, again, a bright spot for Indiana. He battled some foul problems in the first half, played only 9 minutes in the first half, was still able to finish with 25 points, 9 of 16 shooting from the field. But after really good free throw shooting recently, including the Nebraska game on Sunday, Trace just 7 of 14 for 50% from the free throw line. Other top scorers for Indiana, Galloway last night, Race Thompson for Indiana, 13 points. Armon Franklin, had my notes backwards here, he finished with 14 points, which was encouraging to see as he had been out a couple games and was really a game-time decision, according to Archie Miller, but played pretty well last night for Indiana back in the lineup. He's a valuable piece for this Indiana program. But those are the double-digit scores last night, just three players reaching double digits for the Hoosiers. And I think if you take a look at some of the additional stats, specifically the shooting stats, it simply tells you the story of the game. Let's start with three-point shooting. Purdue, not known as a great shooting team consistently, they were 11 of 17 from three, 65%. And Indiana, in comparison to Purdue, 65%, was 3 of 18 for 17% for the three ball. Then free throw shooting. Purdue, 20 of 31, 65% from the charity stripe. That's not really even that impressive, but Indiana, get this, 16 of 29, 55% from the stripe. And I'm reading from a story on InsideTheHall.com after the game last night. If you add that up, those deficits there on threes and free throws, Indiana lost 24 points there. Purdue, a 24-point advantage from three last night, and a four-point advantage at the free throw line. 28 points separating Purdue and Indiana. If you add up even just the three-pointers, is an outstanding advantage for Purdue. But 28 when you total threes and free throws last night made by Purdue. That is an overwhelming number for Indiana to overcome. Indiana, once again, just shoots the ball terribly, just very dismal from their shooting. And I think that tells a lot of the story of last night's game as well. Moving on, we'll get back to IU-Purdue in the next segment with Dylan Wallace when he joins us. But the Indiana game at Michigan State has been postponed, as I mentioned earlier. Michigan State had to postpone its game Thursday night at Iowa. They're having some, obviously, COVID-19 issues in the program. And now it's up to both teams to work with the Big Ten Conference to see when to reschedule the game. And there are some windows that each team has, two windows in their schedules that were built by the conference to help with these rescheduled games, postponements because of the pandemic. And so really for Indiana, though, I wanted to take a moment as we talk about this postponement. It's really, they're very fortunate, and maybe we should knock on wood, but health-wise, so far, Indiana has been fortunate, although they played at Nebraska, seemingly when they were on the brink of some COVID-19 issues. Nothing has been reported yet by Indiana, and you hope that they made it out of that okay. So health-wise, Indiana doing really well so far. And game-wise, as far as getting in their games, Indiana now has 14 games, 8-6 record under their belt last night with that Purdue contest coming to a conclusion. Michigan State on Sunday would have been game number 15. It'll be played. It'll just have to be made up. But when you look at other conferences and other teams, Indiana has done really well as far as getting its games in, playing who they're supposed to play, when they're supposed to play, specifically the non-conference. It was perfect for Indiana as far as playing the games when they were scheduled, against who they were scheduled. And so one postponement so far, not the end of the world for this Indiana team. We'll see when that Michigan State game gets rescheduled. Some high school basketball notes to close out this opening segment before we talk about the weekend ahead. Silver Creek with another big game. The girls, this is last night, they hosted Bedford North Lawrence, and they were nip and tuck for the most part with Bedford, including right down the stretch. Silver Creek kept it very close against Bedford, who's been very dominant now for a number of years in girls basketball. Ultimately, the Lady Dragons, would fall 59-54, the final score. Silver Creek now 15-3 on the year. But if you look at their schedule, it is really amazing. They've played a number of ranked teams in 3A, some of the very best top-ranked teams in 4A, and of course, they've won some of those games as well. But Silver Creek and Scott Shane's team, not only do they have a lot of talent, but as they get closer and closer to the postseason, they've got a schedule behind them where they have really, really been challenged and taken on all comers. And I'm sure that he's counting on that to help this Silver Creek team when they get into the tournament. Because, again, I know I'm not sure how many of you follow girls basketball on a regular basis, but Silver Creek, as good as they are, they're going to have to likely play Salem, who's challenged them in the regular season, who beat them a year ago and then went to the state finals themselves, did Salem last year, in the opening round of the tournament. At some point in the sectional, you got to believe those two are going to play. And so challenges coming every step of the way for this Silver Creek girls team. And we can talk about the sectional because they've got 18 games under their belt and have, four games left of the regular season before the girls get to the tournament time. So we'll see if Silver Creek can represent the area. They definitely, from the girls' side, will be the team that has an opportunity to make a deep run and, who knows, maybe win a state championship. Also, sticking with Silver Creek on the boys' side, one of the things to watch for this weekend, Trey Kaufman at some point, could be tonight at Brownstown, or it could come Saturday. Silver Creek plays Bloomington North, and that should be, I would think, a pretty good game. Bloomington North's really good this year. Trey Kaufman, 31 points behind former IU player and former Silver Creek standout Steve Green. Steve Green's scoring record at Silver Creek, 1,404 points. Kaufman is at 1,373. So tonight, tomorrow, a combination of both. Trey Kaufman is going to become the all-time leading scorer at Silver Creek, which is a big accomplishment, but really not that much a surprise when you look at Kaufman, how dominant he's been, even going back to the younger time in high school. He really got the opportunity to start varsity basketball his freshman year. Even more impressive, I think, with Kaufman is that his teammate, Cooper Jacoby, is like 100 points on the nose behind Steve Green's record. So he's obviously going to pass Steve Green at some point, and him and Kaufman will be number one and number two in Silver Creek's scoring all-time list, which is impressive. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's examples out there somewhere, but I'm not sure if ever two players that were number one and two that graduated in the same year. That just seems like it's a little odd, but it shows you the scoring potential and these two players at Silver Creek, how good they are and how good they've been going back to their freshman years and the opportunities that they've had. So Kaufman will set that record this weekend. Jacoby could do it in the next few weeks of the regular season, I would think, at the soonest. But both of those guys are going to be number one, number two in Silver Creek's scoring list, which is pretty impressive. I mentioned tonight a lot of interesting games in the state and in our local area as well. Floyd Jeff will have that game. I think Madison, New Albany could be interesting. Madison's had a really good season. Of course, former IU player Sharon Wilkerson is the coach there. Silver Creek at Brownstown. Brownstown's good, but they're not the Brownstown team of normal. Normally that would just be a huge game in the Mid-Southern Conference. Providence at Rock Creek, it's been postponed. Rock Creek having some issues with COVID. But other games as well. Christian Academy at Lanesville, that's been a tremendous 1A rivalry in the sectional. Those teams have dominated that 1A sectional. Seems like they take time trading off who wins that sectional, and they will battle in regular season play tonight. And then Borden at Austin, and I saw that Doc Nash has an opportunity to get his 200th career victory when his team plays Austin tonight. So Coach Nash, one of the good ones here in the area, and good luck to him and congratulations to him in advance of that accomplishment, whether it happens tonight, this weekend, or in the near future. He's been one of the good ones here in our area as far as coaching goes. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more on IU-Purdue with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. Also still ahead, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some hoops with him as well. This is a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. More recap of the IU-Purdue game coming up right now with Dylan Wallace, a writer for Sports Illustrated Indiana. And Dylan, I went through some of the numbers, the shooting numbers specifically for both teams in the game earlier in the show to start things off. And really, I think those stats, those shooting stats, tell the story, the difference in the game last night for Purdue leaving Assembly Hall with the victory.
It was a complete difference. You know, you could look at everything in that game, and when you look at the shooting, especially from the three-point line, that's where the difference lies. I mean, I think they both hit the same amount of field goals in total, but Purdue had, I think, 10 more threes than Indiana did, or something like that. You know, they had way more threes, and that was just a big difference. And it was struggling to watch, because I think the last game Purdue played, which was Michigan State, they went 3-24 from the three-point line, and last night they went 13-19. So obviously a big jump. And I think that Michigan State win gave them a lot of confidence, but, you know, when you're Indiana and you kind of hang your head on defense, you want to get up on shooters. You want to be able to close out. You don't want to be able to give a team like that open looks. And Purdue's not really a great three-point shooting team in the first place. But I just thought you saw a lack of intensity in certain moments from Indiana on the defensive end, which we've sort of seen kind of the last few weeks in Big Ten play. You know, the defense has sort of taken a step back. Maybe that's fatigue from guys playing so many minutes. You know, who knows what it is. But, you know, that was exactly what the difference was. And I think, you know, if you're an Indiana fan, you're really frustrated, more so because, you know, your team can't hit those shots. You know, Indiana got open looks as well, and they just weren't able to knock them down, which has sort of been the same story that we've heard again the last few weeks, because they get open looks. And at some point, you have to hit those consistently to make a difference in a game. No matter how good your defense is playing, you have to make shots. And Purdue made shots last night. Indiana didn't, and that's why Purdue left Assembly Hall with a win and the eighth straight against Indiana, which it's not a good thing if you're Archie Miller and the Hoosiers.
Yeah, you know, the focus at this point still needs to be on the team and the season. There's a ton of basketball ahead, and there have been some good moments for this team so far this season, but I don't know if you pay much attention. I try not to, but when you write IU stories as you do, or when I host a radio show as I do, and you've got a following on social media, you get random comments sometime from fans. And I know there's groups and forums and other areas for IU fans to gather, and they do in large numbers. It's a very passionate and big fan base in college basketball. There is no question about that. But the heat is on Archie Miller. And again, this isn't coming from the school, and I'm not even going to ask your opinion on Archie Miller as the coach moving forward, depending on what happens this season. But I just could tell last night in that rivalry game with the way Indiana shot and played, there are a lot of unhappy Hoosier fans that are pretty vocal out there today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's really nothing new. You know, over the last 3 years, I think we've sort of seen that after certain losses. You know, I mean, hey, this isn't their first loss of the year. It's their sixth loss of the season. I think because of the opponent it came against, the emotions are a little bit higher than usual, because, you know, people, you know, it's their big rival. People, you know, fans want to beat Purdue. They're tired of losing to them. It's been eight straight times. Archie Miller has never beaten them. And I think from that perspective, you know, there are a lot of people getting really frustrated with the program and, you know, kind of calling for his job. And, you know, hey, I mean, they're 8-6, they're 3-4 in the Big Ten. And you mentioned, you know, they have done a lot of good things this season. And there's a lot of basketball still left to be played. And this team, you know, you see some, I mean, they wanted to win last night. You know, Armon Franklin was obviously clearly disappointed after the loss. And then, you know, you could tell the effort that he gave last night, even though he was kind of off his return with sort of an injured ankle. You know, he said, we want to be the team to change the culture and to end this streak against Purdue. We weren't able to get it done. He said, we get another shot at them, you know, later on in the season. And that'll be in Mackey Arena. But, I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of basketball to be played. And for this team, you know, they still have plenty of opportunities to do something special this season. You know, you're not going to have the Michigan State game. You're going to have a week off. But, you know, you get Iowa, who's the top five team in the country, on the road. You know, there's going to be opportunities every single game for this team to kind of, you know, right the ship and get things going. I just think people, you know, you sort of lose a sense of kind of everything as soon as something really bad happens and you're not a fan of it. You might overreact on social media and some group or whatever it is. That was definitely a thing that happened. But again, you know, it's nothing new. I think one of my favorite things about Archie Miller sometimes in his press conferences after a loss or, you know, a media, like, before a game that felt like a loss, he'll always say, like, you know, whenever we lose, you know, the world is burning around us, but we're completely fine inside this program. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing that, you know, hopefully for Indiana specifically, even though they're disappointed from that loss, you know, they're gonna have a week to sort of, you know, right the ship, get things adjusted, fix some things on the defensive end, kind of hopefully get some guys rested and healthy and be ready to go when they take the floor next, because, you know, there's a lot of basketball we play and a lot of good things that still happen for them this season.
Absolutely. Talking with Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Other things last night from the game, we've discussed the shooting that was woeful for Indiana. I guess Purdue shot it pretty well, even better than what their normal clip might be. But other things that stood out to you, whether it was something good or some additional negative topics with the players or a certain aspect of the game that you caught your attention last night?
Yeah, there's a few things for me. You know, I always feel like Matt Painter kind of out-coaches Archie Miller a lot of times when they go up against each other, sort of the game plan around it. And you know, one of the things that I think the last few years that have really bothered me the most, I guess, about what Archie Miller does is when a player gets two fouls, you know, he is quick to pull him and he's quick to not put him back in. And we saw that with Trace in the first half. Luckily, Indiana was able to kind of make a run and stay in that game. But still, you know, I think there's, you know, those moments, and I know there's a quick whistle last night a lot of times, but, you know, sometimes you have to trust your best player to not pick up that third foul. You know, sometimes you just got to have faith in them to be able to, you know, play in there and not be able to pick up a foul and just play hard. And, you know, we haven't really seen them give Trace that opportunity. He kind of just benched him for a lot of time in that first half. But you know, Indiana was able to make a run, so I guess it wasn't too big of a difference. And then just, you know, the way I was surprised they didn't really double Travion Williams as much as I thought they would, you know. You know, because especially, I guess maybe because Purdue was hitting shots from the outside and you didn't want to risk leaving them open. But I don't know, man. I just thought, you know, the way he was able to kind of get what he wanted down there. And, you know, Race Thompson did what he could. He made Travion kind of go up over him, which is what you want to do. But, you know, he's a good enough player to make those kind of shots. And I was a little bit surprised that, you know, they didn't really double him as much as I thought. Things that I liked, you know, I liked the way they were able to get Trace the ball and let him kind of go to work. I mean, I remember the game in Mackey Arena last year when they played Purdue. I mean, every time Trace touched the ball, Purdue doubled him instantly. And he literally could not do anything. He could not go anywhere. And they did bring double teams maybe a little bit less frequently than they did, you know, the last time they played. But still, I think the way that Indiana was able to get him the ball in certain spots, you know, it allowed him to be more effective. And, you know, he obviously hit a nice game, which was good. So I thought that was good, kind of adjusting from the offensive end to sort of combat the Purdue defense. And, you know, Purdue doesn't give up a lot of two-pointers, and Indiana shot pretty well from two-point range yesterday. So that was kind of a positive. And, you know, I just like that, you know, getting Armand Franklin back was a big thing for them. You know, I think he forced a couple of shots last night. And he looked a little out of rhythm, and that's just probably Russ for missing a few games. But having him is huge. You could tell the effort and determination on his face was key. I guess another thing that I didn't really like was, you know, I don't like when he plays a lot of the freshmen at the same exact time. You know, if you're concerned about playing the freshmen in the defense, and maybe, you know, you give Christian Lander a run with four really good defenders around him, or, you know, you don't combine all the freshmen at once on the floor, because that can get a little out of hand. And I think we saw that when you know, Christian Lander, Anthony Leo, and Jerome Hunter, I think, were all on the floor at one point last night in the first half. Purdue, you know, went on like a 7 or 9-0 run, and it seems like that just can't happen. So, you know, those are kind of the negatives and positives that kind of stood out to me last night. Yeah.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. We're talking IU's loss to Purdue yesterday. Disappointing, too, for fans, and I'm sure the team and coaches, that there's no bounce-back opportunity on Sunday. Indiana was scheduled for a noon tip with Michigan State, and Michigan State's it's still a dangerous matchup, a dangerous game. We know they've got some talent. They're just not playing great basketball themselves right now. So it could have been an opportunity for Indiana to right the ship or to get some momentum back after last night, but we found out before the game that contest Sunday is going to be postponed as Michigan State battles COVID issues.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, especially because, you know, Archie Miller has kind of had Michigan State's number, I think, the last couple of years. They've been able to beat them a number of times kind of on the road and at home. And, yeah, you know, Michigan State has sort of had their issues on the court, kind of finding an identity and finding consistency. And I think that would have been a big opportunity for Indiana to get a particular road win, you know. They don't really do well on the road in the Big Ten. And, you know, to win in the Breslin Center would have been a pretty nice thing for them, or a nice opportunity at least. And it was also kind of a quick turnaround to sort of get this loss out of the way. And now you kind of have it linger for about a week. And that's kind of up to the team themselves to sort of just get back to practice hard, and kind of just get rid of that feeling and prepare for Iowa. But, it is kind of disappointing. And, you know, it kind of throws a rink into the flow here in the season. But, you know, Archie Miller said it'll be like a nice time for them to sort of get guys healthy. You know, Armon Franklin was dinged up. You know, Trace is playing a lot of minutes. You know, get guys rested and healthy. And, you know, when you take the floor again, it's certainly not going to be an easy task whatsoever, but you kind of hope they come out inspired and ready to play.
Yeah, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, our guest. We're talking IU basketball. Dylan, the Big Ten continues to be, when you look night in and night out at the results, exactly what we thought, a very superior conference and a really tough one this year. Indiana, with the loss last night, drops to 3-4 in the Big Ten. And I didn't look at the standings this morning, but they're on their way, if they don't get some wins here in the next few games, to being in that bottom third of the conference. It just, I think maybe there's some mental side to it as well, because you know what's ahead on your schedule if you're a player, or obviously Coach Miller, and you know how tough these games, especially the road games, even at home, Indiana's proven it's not a cinch for them to win, but you know how tough they're going to be. And I just, to see Indiana drop below 500, I know it happened earlier, but just not a good situation with what's ahead for this team on the schedule.
Yeah, that was a tough – the last game was a kind of a tilting point in terms of, you know, Indiana Purdue were both 3-3, and whoever won that game had a nice chance to kind of, you know, get sort of the top half of that conference, because I think, you know, where Purdue is at now, they're 4-3, they're basically tied for fifth place, which is a nice spot to be. You know, Indiana's just kind of like one spot below. I think there's about, you know, four teams that are all 3-4 right now. You know, you have Minnesota, Rutgers, Northwestern, Indiana, are all 3-4 sitting around, you know, the seven ranges in the conference, kind of all tied around there. And you know, that was last night would have been a nice win to sort of get yourself boosted a little bit up into a hoarder, or hopefully like the upper echelon of the Big Ten. But now you got some work to do. You got to kind of climb your way back in. And, you know, with this conference, as you mentioned, it's hard to string wins together, consecutive wins, you know, especially with the stretch Indiana has coming up. I mean, it's kind of a brutal stretch, and you can't let these losses pile up. You know, they have, like, Iowa, Rutgers at home, Michigan on the road, Illinois, Iowa again. I mean, it is brutal the next four or five games for Indiana. And, you know, you got to find a way to get these wins. You got to find a way to split them, or you got to find a way to just – kind of get back to around the 500 mark, and maybe even above it in the Big Ten, because, you know, the conference is going to eat each other up on the inside. And so if you can sort of hang around 500 and get above it, you know, you're going to have a good shot to, you know, hopefully be around the middle of it, or even a little higher, which is where Indiana needs to be. It's where you want to be, especially when you're kind of shooting to get to the tournament. But yeah, I mean, I thought last night's loss was kind of big, and it's a bit of a turning point here for Indiana, because, you know, you've dropped to 3-4. And, you know, you're going to Iowa next, and you cannot let, you know, these losses pile onto each other, or else things can get really out of hand, which we saw a couple of years ago. So it's going to be a tough test, and we're going to kind of see how things play out, because there's no nights off in this conference. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a gauntlet and a tough ride for the Hoosiers, but we'll see kind of how they're able to respond in a week from now.
Yeah, definitely. And some time off now for this Indiana team when you look at their normal schedule. With that game at Michigan State not happening, Indiana will have some time to prepare for the next one. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, joins us on Friday and had a full review of the IU-Purdue game today. Dylan, as always, thanks for coming on.
Yep, thank you so much.
We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. More basketball discussion. We'll talk a little recruiting. C.J. Gunn up at Lawrence North has set his date for a decision. We'll get Kyle's thoughts on his recruitment, also his game, what he could potentially bring to IU if he chooses the Hoosiers on February 7th. We'll do that and talk some high school basketball as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Kyle Medenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. And, Kyle, lots of hoops to get to today. And I want to start with a player that you're familiar with. C.J. Gunn of Lawrence North made it known recently he's going to pick his college choice on February 7th. Indiana in the mix there, and a lot of people think they have an opportunity to land C.J. You're familiar with him from his high school and off-season summer basketball opportunities, and probably as much or more than anyone else. For fans here that haven't seen him play, that only know Indiana's recruiting him and offering him a scholarship, give us a rundown on his game, what he does well, what type of player he is, and do you think ultimately Indiana's got a fair chance to land him when he makes his announcement?
Yeah, CJ was a player who transferred from Hamilton Southeastern as a freshman. Came in at LN last year and was a pretty big part of that team up until he tore a ligament in his thumb. It would have been exactly a year ago tonight. It was Marion County Tournament semifinals. And that limited him, I think, to 15 games total for the season they'd played to that point, and he didn't play again. So, but he was on his way. You could kind of see, you know, what he could develop as. I would say he was more probably an outside shooter last year. And shot it pretty well. And then he really kind of exploded, I thought went to another level, in the truncated, AAU season that we did have, started getting some big time looks and offers. And I think Kansas State was the first school to offer him in June. And then, a lot of others followed after that, including IU, Missouri, Xavier, several others. So, he's a guy who, and I've watched him a lot, covered him a lot as a high school player. He probably had his best game I've seen him play on Tuesday against North Central in the county, 28 points. And, I wrote a little bit about it, but he scored from all levels, got to the free throw line. He was 7 for 7, hit 3 3-pointers and, he's good in transition, got in transition and, ran out and got some layups. And, the thing that, about him is he's very smooth, very smooth player. When he shoots it, it almost always looks like it's going in, just to hit. And he hasn't shot a great percentage, probably not as high as he did last year up to this point. But he's still in that, 35% range right now from three, which is not bad. But I think he can shoot it better from there. And, Jack Kiefer talks about him kind of, needing at times to play with another gear, meaning he needs to gear down occasionally. He gets going a little bit too fast at times. But, I think that's a good thing. You'd rather throttle back than have to throttle up. And, I think he's, the more I watch him, the more I I'm convinced he's a high-level prospect. I think his ranking is like 101 or somewhere in that range in the nation. And, that's a that's pretty high praise for him, but I think he's definitely deserving of that. And, we'll see if he, deserves higher than that. It depends who the other players are, I guess, and you never know about that. But, I really, think highly of him. I think he's got a good, good head on his shoulders. His sister played at a high level at Hamilton Southeastern. She's a freshman at Valparaiso now, so there's basketball in that family. And, he's a key part. I think he's probably, when you look at that Lawrence North team this year, he's probably the best, in the long term, he's the best player on that team, in my opinion, as far as potential goes. And he's got two other guys around him who are really good as well, in Shamar Avance and DJ Hughes. But, Gunn brings a lot to the table as a player. And, I think it's going to be fun to see what he develops into. And to answer your last question, I definitely think IU is one of the, if not the favorite, then definitely a big part of this, process in his recruitment. And, they'll be right there, I think.
Kyle Medenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, we get ready for some big games here in Southern Indiana this weekend. There have been some big games this week across the state. I'm not sure that all people interested in some of these games, but Homestead and Fort Wayne, very good in 4A. They could maybe come out of the north. They beat Fort Wayne Blackhawk with Caleb First. That's going to Purdue. You've also, this week, Cathedral beat Carmel in a weeknight game. And then tonight, in addition to Floyd Central, Jeff, and some of the other good ones we have on tap here this weekend, you've got Lagodi and Bar Reeve to our southwest, which is always a great matchup. Of course, none of these games will be the same without the fans. But still, big week for high school basketball here this season.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I after that Cathedral Carmel game, or even during the game, I was thinking, and there's been a couple times I felt this way, and I think the sectional will feel this way. But it's like, man, it's such a great game, and what we're missing is the crowds, the huge, all the cars in the parking lot, and and I'm not complaining about that. I can, I go cover games and I can park right next to the school and walk right up there. But you do miss all that extra. That we become accustomed to and are spoiled by. And, it was weird. And even Ryan Osborne, from Carmel mentioned it after that game. They lost by 1 point. But, he felt like, their energy just wasn't what he thought it was going to be. And, it kind of makes you wonder, maybe the energy's there, but you just don't feel it in the crowd, because there's no crowd there, And that one definitely felt weird. There's been a couple other instances of that. For me so far, but the games are still great, but I do think once we get into probably more than ever, and maybe more than any round of the tournament, the sectionals will feel much different. You mentioned that Bar Reeve team. I saw them play earlier in the year at the Hall of Fame Classic, and what a great team that is. I can't imagine there's any 1A teams that are going to be able to compete with them personnel wise, but it's always tough when those rivals play each other. And I'm sure Lagodi has every ounce of that game scouted, and they're going to be ready to play them. But again, without, I don't know what their situation down there is, whether they're orange or red, probably red, knowing what all the counties look like this week, but definitely won't be the same crowd wise for sure down there. But there have been some really good games. Like you said, I was at that Carmel Cathedral game, and then, was following along as Homestead and Blackhawk played each other, and, two undefeated teams. We're going to see Homestead's coming down here to play Lawrence North next week. And, that's definitely a state title type of a contender that Homestead has this year with the addition of Fletcher Lawyer, the Purdue recruit on that team. That gives you Lawyer and Luke Goody, playing alongside each other. That's a dynamic duo, great shooting team, and I know Blackhawk, I believe they're 0-for-17 from the 3-point line in that game. And that's very unusual for them, that's such a weapon for them from the three, but those are fun matchups. So it's fun to see those games, be able to happen still. And, to me, the atmosphere of high school basketball is like 90% of the fun of it, for these big games. So that's, we're missing that for sure. And it feels a little bit, we're missing something there for sure. But, like we've said many times, it's kind of, that's where we're at. And, COVID's probably never been worse. And I think there's something on the horizon here that's going to be good with the vaccine, but man, we're going through some tough times right now. So, definitely need to limit the crowds, but it definitely takes the edge off of some of these big games as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Kyle, this isn't a high school basketball or recruiting topic like we normally stick to, but Victor Oladipo has been traded, part of a big four-team deal. Obviously, James Harden was kind of the blockbuster in that trade. But your thoughts on that? IU fans love Vic. He had kind of a dream scenario for the Pacers, especially when he was healthy and really outperformed, I think, what a lot of people thought he would ever do maybe at the NBA level. And then from there, from that pinnacle, it just seemed to kind of slowly decay and go downhill, not only from a health perspective, but also just some, I don't know, it just never seemed to be a match that was made permanently or for some time in the league. Your thoughts on him, his departure from Indiana, and how fans will look back upon him?
Well, yeah, I mean, it started off such a great marriage, it seemed like. And I know when he got hurt, at the time he got hurt, he was really playing well. And, you know, I was actually covering the Celtics Pacers series when they played each other. It would have been a year and a half ago or whatever. By now it was Easter of 19, right around then. And Oladipo came back. He had been rehabbing in Florida and came back and, you know, was at the game, hadn't been there for a long time. And the crowd gave him a huge reaction, ovation, just, you know, that he was there. And you know, the crowd just adored him at that time. And that's, you know, that's probably, what, 18 months ago or a little bit more. But, you know, where it happened to where we're at now, you know, and some of the things he said and you know, that you know, kind of came to fruition, that it was pretty clear that he wanted out of Indianapolis. And, you know, that, so it kind of felt somewhat similar to the Paul George scenario. And I think, you know, Pacers fans just want somebody who's, you know, wants to be here, you know, and it's like, how do you make that happen? And, you know, so I think it's probably a good situation, that he's leaving, at this point. And I think honestly with Caris LeVert's going to be better, for the Pacers. And I think they're going to, you know, probably benefit from having him and, you know, that, kind of what the makeup of their team looks like, moving forward. I think Pacers are really good. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, you know, knowing Oladipo was a, you know, guy who played at IU and had a big fan base that way. And I don't think it'll be his time at the Pacers will not be remembered, you know, extremely fondly, although he did put together some good years here, going back to 2017-18. And, you know, I think he really kind of probably played over his, not over his ability, but he probably overperformed what people thought he was going to do when he first got here. So, you know, I think he's done that throughout his career, you know, throughout his NBA career. But hopefully he gets back on track with, you know, the post-injury Oladipo, and he gets back to being as dynamic as he was and you know, gets to wherever he wants to be as a player.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy some hoops this weekend. We'll talk with you next Friday.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us as we wrap up the week. Don't forget high school basketball tonight. Floyd Central at Jeffersonville will be on the air at 7:10. Thanks for being with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.